The Coffee Break Liberty Podcast, Episode 10. Welcome back, everybody, to the Coffee Break Liberty Podcast with your host, me, Leo Sowers, and the Liberty Dog himself, Gino, who is once again asleep on the job. He looks freaking cute, though. My goodness. Before we jump into it today, I want to remind you guys about the Coffee Break Liberty store at coffeebreakliberty.com, where you can find mugs, shirts, laptop cases, phone cases, stickers, all the cool stuff, everything you ever wanted with the Coffee Break Liberty logo on it, and some other mugs as well with libertarian-esque and liberty-themed logos and designs. So if you go to coffeebreakliberty.com and in the top there is a tab for store or shop, whatever it is, go there, go find what you want, pick it out, get it delivered to your house. But before you do that, you go to that coffeebreakliberty.com webpage, wait there for about 10 to 15 seconds, you'll get hit for a prompt to sign up for the newsletter. I'm telling you, sign up for this newsletter, because not only will you not get any newsletters, what you will get though is a 10% off discount code for your first order from the coffeebreakliberty.com store. So go check it out, sign up for the newsletter, get that discount code, and get yourself a mug. The first thing I want to discuss this week and talk about are the possibility, the promotion of these vaccine passports by the Biden administration. Earlier this week, the Biden administration came out saying that they are looking into developing vaccine passports, promoting them. They like the idea. For those that laughed at us a year ago, when we said this is where it could lead, we knew it was going to come to this. We knew this was going to happen. They've been talking about it for a while. They started talking about this a long time ago, well over a year ago now, like the moment this started. And now we're seeing it being pushed by the federal government. Some state governments are trying to push it. There are other nations that are trying to push it as well. Hopefully it does not come to that, but if you go on Twitter or online, now I understand that is not reality, but if you go there, you will see a lot of people promoting it. You will see people in favor of these, and it is something we need to be, honestly, it's something we need to be concerned about, right? The way they peddle it. You had some doctor, somebody from the, I don't even know who it was, some hack on CNN earlier this week, reminding us or letting us know that our freedoms can be enjoyed again when we have a vaccine passport. Does she understand what the word freedom means? Do these people get this idea at all? Like, is it beyond them, the whole concept? No, it's a word they like to use. They don't know what it means. You see that everywhere, though, now. You've seen it for decades. Gosh, generations, it seems. All these people talk about their freedom. Oh, we've got all this freedom and liberty in the United States. It's just a word. It's phrases that people like to throw around. You know, they learn them in school and they think, ah, yes, because we have a Statue of Liberty, we must have liberty here. Clearly, we have a statue of it. So there's got to be liberty in the United States. That's the way these people think. That's the way most Americans think. We need to break this cycle or whatever you want to call it. Break this way of thinking. It's not healthy. It's not good. It's not even correct. You know, these kind of other places have, oh, it's the Liberty Bridge. Oh, so therefore we have liberty. No, you don't. You now have governments around the world advocating and pushing for passports to prove that you're healthy. What? Since when did I need to prove to anybody that I'm healthy? Why would I ever need to prove that? I could think of a few situations, but those would be intimate situations. Those would be one-on-one situations. I should never have to prove to the state, some state official, that I'm healthy. And people love it on the internet. Lots of people seem to be all about it. In response to this, the Libertarian Party of Kentucky had a tweet post that caused a firestorm in the libertarian community, the liberty movement, what have you, on the internet. Essentially, they compared the vaccine passports and those that would and would not have them to the yellow stars that the Jews had to wear in Germany. you know, that whole era, right? That's what it led to, right? That caused a firestorm, as many people felt that they were minimalizing the struggles and the effort and the horrific thing that the Holocaust was against the Jewish people in Europe. And several others didn't see it that way. A lot of people did not see it that way. A lot of people thought it was a comparison that minimalized what happened to the Jewish people during the Holocaust. Maybe an okay, maybe, you know, it's pretty brash, right? It's pretty in-your-face comparison. But minimalizing it, I don't see it as that. I don't see that as, you know, how do you want to know how you minimalize it, how you overlook the Holocaust is when you ignore it, when you ignore that it happened only 80 years ago, and you ignore the fact, and you just think because you have things like Statues of Liberty in the United States, when you think it can't happen here, that's how you minimalize things like the Holocaust. Because don't forget that, you know, 80 years ago, when the Holocaust was happening in Europe, the United States government was creating special police units to round up Japanese Americans and throw them in camps as well. Luckily for them, the outcome wasn't as bad as it was for the Jewish people, but still, their liberties were crushed. They were stripped away from them at the hands of the government. The hands of FDR. It was an executive order. What a hero. So a few of the other libertarian parties from the states and national kind of went on the attack against Libertarian Party Kentucky. And it kind of got interesting. This is inside baseball for those that are interested. But you had states like New Hampshire, their state Twitter account or what have you was kind of in support of Kentucky's statement. You had Nevada, which was really against it, but they've been against pretty much anything liberty-related for about 5 years now. And then you had the LP National come out against it as well. LP National did not speak out against vaccine passports. They did not speak out against lockdowns. They didn't speak out against any of this stuff that's been going on for the past year. But lo and behold, when Kentucky says something a little brash, for sure, fair enough, but it gets your attention. Sometimes that's what you need. LP National has to condemn it. LP National has spoken out more against what the Libertarian Party of Kentucky said this past week than they have against vaccine passports and the lockdowns in the last year. Can I get my $1,500 back, please? Can we all get it, maybe? Can we get our money back, please? Because clearly, this money we're donating to the National Party is just being squandered. They don't care about liberty because they treat it much like many Americans do. Oh, liberty, it's in our name. It's in the name of our party, right? It's libertarian, right? We're libertarians. Liberty is in there, right? It's the root word. That doesn't mean you're for liberty. That means nothing when you don't take a stand against oppressive governments and the ideas of vaccine passports, where you just marginalize groups of people. Like I said, I know it's a lot of inside baseball for those that don't care, but for those that do, this is, again, it's more of the same from National and some of these libertarian groups, parties of different states, right? They're not for liberty. Right, because peak libertarianism is anarchism. There, I'll say it. For those that don't know, peak libertarianism is anarchism. It's not minarchism, okay? And trust me, I was there for a while. I was stuck on that minarchist fence for a while. And then 2020 was when it kind of hit me like, you know what? There's no way. There's no way I'm just going to let the government, you know, in my perfect worldview of minarchism, was I going to just concede that, well, the government should just be in charge of the police and the laws and the courts, you know, everything that they use to oppress the people. Peak libertarianism is anarchism. And there's this divide in the party. There's several divides, right? It's a big, they try to make the party a big tent. It kind of works, sort of, I guess, if you want 1% of the vote. It does move the needle in the national conversation, I'll say that. But the party as a whole is not good at getting people elected. And that's more a symptom of the whole duopoly. Not necessarily the party's problem. But there are issues within the party that make it more difficult to reach other people. One is clearly lack of funding. But when you have so many sects or factions within the party, especially a party this small, it makes it difficult to get a unified front, to get the message out there. You have anarchists in the Libertarian Party, also have communists in the Libertarian Party. Now, some will argue, well, if you read Marx, you know, he actually calls for some form of anarchism, and that's how you get communism. There's actually not some, da, 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 da. I'm not going to get into all that. But yes, there is a legitimate argument. If you do read Marx, Marx never calls for a dictatorship. It just always ends that way. So communism as we know it in the lay term always ends in dictatorship. So that's where kind of, you know, everybody views it pretty much at that. But yeah, when you have a party, especially one that's as small as the Libertarian Party, with, I mean, pretty much opposed, diametrically opposed viewpoints, it makes it difficult to get, you know, steam behind, wind in the sails, whatever whatever phrase you want to use, you know, for the party to get going. And you see things like what happened this last week. The National Party strikes out. I know it's on Twitter, right? They didn't do it. It's not like they pulled funding or, you know, said, oh, we're going to, I don't know what they could even do. Like, they can't fire anybody. Whatever, though. It's for them to take a stand against one of the state affiliates, but not against vaccine passports, not against lockdowns. That shows you where the National Party is, and it's a complete disconnect from clearly some state affiliates. The largest caucus in the party is the Mises Caucus. By far, it is the largest caucus by far, and it is it is in stark opposition of what the National Party says. So, like, this is inside baseball for those that don't care, but there are plenty that do. I care because they've got a lot of my money, and I say that in jest. I'm not going to get into why, you know, my justification for giving them money, not on this show, maybe later. I'll do it in another podcast. But there's clearly issues in the party, and the attacks, or the not necessarily the attacks, but the back and forth between some of the state affiliates and the National Party are a great example of it. It's good to have different ideas. It's good to have discussions. But it almost seems like it's not a unified party and not even close. It's something that needs to be discussed more at the national level, and it's not. It's generally just disregarded. Or, you know, hey, it's the Mises Caucus, and they're pushed aside, or they're not thought of. Or they're just thought of as those annoying kids that like Ron Paul. Oh, they just like Ron Paul. What do they know? Well, they probably know more than you think. Every Ron Paul supporter that I know, that I personally know, reads a lot. They research what they talk about. And they don't give in to, I don't want to say pop culture, but whatever's popular. If it's popular to be for lockdowns, they're going to question it. Coming full circle, though, vaccine passports bad. The Libertarian Party at National did not talk about it at all. Seems to have no opposition to it, while some state affiliates do. And we as libertarian people, liberty-minded folk, the liberty movement, anarchists, even minarchists, we should be opposed to the idea of vaccine passports. Yes, even if they're given out by businesses and a business requires it. Now, my solution for a business that requires it, luckily I live in a big enough area where I can go somewhere else and shop. I can just shop online, fine. Walmart or the grocery store or wherever wants to require me to have a vaccine passport. Well, Amazon doesn't require me to have a vaccine passport to have something delivered to my house. I guess I'll just go that route and I won't waste time at the grocery store. I don't like standing in line anyways. The second thing I wanted to talk about this week is, well, a tweet that I started with earlier in the week, and I'll read it for you now. I tweeted this earlier this week, and we'll expand on it. One of the many things I'll never understand about progressives is that they believe it is regulation that will solve the problems of the world, not innovation of new technologies, allowing them to flourish unregulated. This is kind of a extension of what I heard on another podcast, but it holds true, right? Whenever you hear progressives talk about things like Uber or Amazon or some other, you know, Netflix, I'm sure they'll be talking about how that needs to be regulated next. But it's not just them, right? It's not just these new technologies. Progressives in general have been wanting, and I say progressives, conservatives now too, because let's not forget the adage that Michael Malice teaches us. Conservatism is just progressivism driving the speed limit. Malice teaches us this. Hayek talks about it. In the 30s, he talked about it. But yeah, it's these progressives, conservatives, whatever, that whole blue pill group, really, honestly, that sees regulation as the way forward. That if you leave things unregulated, they'll become dangerous. I mean, I've talked about this before, in the blog post before. One thing that is unregulated across the world are car brakes. Now, yes, in many countries, it is now a requirement that new cars sold have to have ABS, anti-lock braking systems. But there is no regulation on how fast a car, or how short a distance, rather, a car must stop. There's no regulation on this. Nowhere. There's no regulation that says car brakes can't be made out of paper mache. There's no regulation that says cars have to have brakes. There's regulations on windshields for cars. You know, in the United States, and I'm sure other countries, there are safety glass requirements for cars sold, but there's nothing on brakes other than ABS. All the time you'll have people tell you that regulations are required, that you need regulation to be safe. Yet my car stops. Your car stops too, unless the brakes are faulty. It's not regulation that pushes technology or innovation. It's what the consumer wants, right? The consumer wants a vehicle that gets better gas mileage. Okay, hybrid vehicles came about. And then later on, you know, the government comes in and says, oh, yeah, all your vehicles now have to have a 35 mpg requirement. You realize that every car manufacturer was at that mark already when they came through with that. But no, the government came in to save the day. Another one is the FAA. Oh my goodness, the FAA just saved aviation. Aviation was correcting itself, as it should have been. And the FAA comes in at the end, and then people say, oh, well, look, you know, without the FAA, planes would just be falling out of the sky. Who would get on an airplane that's falling out of the sky? If planes were that dangerous, would you get on an airplane? No, you'd take another form of transportation. It's absurd. I recall years ago, somebody was telling me how the FAA was going to regulate the seats to where they were so small nobody could sit in them. Think about that. If nobody can sit in them, and the businesses are allowed to do this, let's say Southwest makes seats so small that nobody can fit in them, how are they going to make money? It doesn't make any sense. These people that push for regulations, they don't know what they're doing most of the time, pretty much all the time. They're not pushing innovation. Innovation is pushed by the consumer. It's pushed by those buying the products. Sometimes, from time to time, though, it is pushed by the company itself, right? Nobody was demanding internet on our phone. Nobody was demanding all these apps, social media. But we were kind of told in a way, you know, society kind of told us we needed it. We needed to be connected all the time. That's why we needed cell phones. And then past that, we needed email. We needed to be connected all the time. It's not really, you know, that's one of those cases where the consumer didn't really push that. You know, did people really want that? Or is that something that was just offered and people saw it and said, oh yeah, I want that. And that's the way it is oftentimes, right? Nobody was told they needed a car. You know, when cars first came about, there was other modes of transportation. You could walk, you could take a horse, a buggy, whatever. The car came around, became affordable eventually. Now it becomes a need. Now it becomes a requirement almost in most cities, in most places in the world. It's innovation that will solve the problems of the world. It is new technologies, not regulation. Regulation will just slow it down. I mean, goodness, you look at the infrastructure plan that the Biden administration plans on spending $2 trillion at least. So you can pretty much add another trillion on top of that. That is going to give internet to everybody is part of the plan. We'll see what happens. It probably won't go through. But they're going to give it to people through fiber and this, that, and the other. Fiber, while it is fast, is old news. That's old technology when it comes to getting internet to people. Elon Musk has a system that will get internet to people for far cheaper, a far more environmentally friendly approach via satellites. But no, we don't want to do that because that doesn't create enough jobs, I'm sure, whatever. You know, it's just like the government, right, to be 30 years behind the technology. Hey, we're using fiber. Yeah, fiber was great 30 years ago. And I'll admit, it's good coming to my house. That's how you're getting this, or I'm putting this rather online from my house is via fiber. But there's better options out there. And regulation is keeping them, those better options, from getting to us, the consumer. And the last thing I want to talk about this week is the Derek Chauvin trial. I don't have a lot to say about it, but because it was requested in the live stream, yes, that's right, I am live streaming while I am doing this podcast, so you can see me do on-the-spot edits, but we'll get more into that at the end of the show, and I'll remind you guys about that. The Derek Chauvin trial for the murder of George Floyd started this week. For those that don't recall, and I don't know how you wouldn't, but Derek Chauvin was a police officer that was videotaped arresting George Floyd, and George Floyd died during the arrest. There, I said that about as correctly as I could, and now I'm going to throw some opinion in there. I think Derek Chauvin is guilty of murder. That said, I don't think whatever happens, he'll get a fair trial. And I'm at the point now, though, with these murderous cops. Should he? Does he even deserve a fair trial? Maybe I'm a little cynical in this regard, but I mean, everybody saw what happened, right? One of the people watching the live stream, Jesse, pointed out that 95% of cops murdering people that go on trial are acquitted. But him and I agree that Derek Chauvin will be a scapegoat. And I don't see it coming out any other way. I mean, scapegoat kind of, right? There's kind of the thing, well, that means he doesn't deserve it. No, I think he was guilty, but I think they'll make an example of him. Not only is he guilty, but I think he will get probably the maximum shy of the death penalty. And I don't even know if they have the death penalty in that state. But I think as many years as he can get is what will be thrown his way. For right now, though, that's about all I have to say about the Derek Chauvin trial. But before I leave you guys today, I want to remind you all about the affiliate program that I'm a part of. So if you go to coffeebreakliberty.com/affiliate, or if you just go to coffeebreakliberty.com, you'll see the affiliate tab. Click on there, and you'll see a banner for signing up for Bluehost and all the benefits you get when you sign up for Bluehost through that link. So what is Bluehost, you might ask? Well, Bluehost is the hosting for this website. The reason you're able to hear and view the great things at coffeebreakliberty.com is because Bluehost hosts this website. And I have signed up with an affiliate program with them. And if you sign up for Bluehost to have them host your website, and you let me know about it, you're going to get free publicity. That's what I'm offering you. I call it the Tom Woods deal, but now I'm doing it. So we're going to start calling it the Coffee Break Liberty deal. So I used to call it the Tom Woods deal, but from now on, I'm calling it the Leo Sowers deal. So if you sign up for Bluehost from that link and let me know about it, you're going to get free publicity. I'm going to plug your new website on the podcast, the webpage, the Facebook page, my Instagram, and personal Facebook page. You're going to reach thousands of people, and we're almost to 2,000 people on the Facebook page right now. That's our biggest platform here at Coffee Break Liberty. Start a website, sign up with Bluehost, let me know about it, and when you sign up with Bluehost, sign up through my link, of course, then let me know about it, and you'll get that plug. Whether it's a blog, a new business, another podcast, a web store, let me know through that deal and you'll get some great benefits, some free publicity. This was a first here for us at the Coffee Break Liberty podcast. Gino and I went live streaming on Instagram. If I figure out how to do it on Facebook and Instagram at the same time, I'll do it next week. But be on the lookout for it. I'm going to try and do this more often, live stream. You can see how ridiculous I am. I actually answer some live questions on the live stream, and they may not make it into the show because I'm not recording the entire time. It may become a new format. We'll see what happens. It's just fun to do. I get to talk to you guys while I'm doing the podcast. So keep a lookout for it. And if you're looking for me on Instagram, it's real simple. It's my name, Leo Sowers. I'm the only one out there. So go ahead and add me on the Instagram if you want to see me on live stream next week, because I at least know how to do it on Instagram. That's going to wrap it up for us here at the Coffee Break Liberty podcast this week, guys. Gino and I want to wish you a great week and a happy Easter. And, you know, hope you all have a great weekend, right? And a great week. We'll talk to you next time.